appreciate the good message that Elder Aquino's brought forth and desire and interest in your prayers the time that we stand before you. Last week had the blessing of being able to go to Chattanooga and be in an ordination service for a young man, a minister, that his name was James Hindman. He has visited in this area one time. It was a real blessing to be with he and his wife and their seven children in the ordination service. He said that the first time that that he had ever been exposed to a Primitive Baptist church was he was driving a church van for another group of folks, and he drove by the building in Chattanooga, and there was some folks on the van, and he read the sign out, Primitive Baptist. What does that mean? And one of the ladies, passengers on the van, says, I have no idea. He said, I began to look online, and I began to reach out and find that the doctrine was real special, and especially on the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. And he said, I continued going, and then we began to worship there, and now he's being ordained to preach in the very church that he passed by a number of times. It was a real blessing to be there. I was asked by Brother Andrew to assist in delivering the charge. And the other minister that was to deliver the charge, we shared the time, was Elder Gus Harder. Elder Harder has been an able minister through the years. He's now in his late 70s and a great blessing. Still, the Lord's used him to start a number of churches across the country and many in the Philippines. And next month, it will be 24 years since Elder Harder actually delivered the charge in my ordination service. So it was a real blessing to be able to be there. But I tried to think about some areas that might be an encouragement to this young minister who was starting out in the ministry, realizing that if he's starting out, and if he has 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ahead of him, that there's going to be some challenges along the way. I mean, that's life. That's the life of all of us. My grandmother didn't say a lot, and you couldn't understand a lot of what she said, but after she moved to Maryland and lived in my home and traveled around to church meetings, she told some of the neighbors one time, she said, it's hard living with a preacher. So I don't know what aspects were hard. She enjoyed going to church and enjoyed the fellowship, but I wanted to encourage Brother James, in his early days in his ministry. And the encouragement comes from God's Word. The Apostle Paul was becoming an old man, and yet he had a desire for the church to continue on the gospel, the doctrine, long after he's gone. The Lord had sent a number of young folks in his life. Some of them were right there with him and labored with him, and some forsook. It said that there's one, I think it's Demas, that loved the enticements of the world more than the gospel and the church and the doctrine. And so they left one by one. And in fact, one time, Paul got so in such a state that he began to list all those that had forsaken him. And he said, no man stood with me. But then he says, I think it's in the latter part of either 1st or 2nd Timothy, but he says, but the Lord strengthened me. I wanted Brother James to know that he may face some times like that, but it's the Lord's church, it's the Lord's people, it's the Lord's doctrine, and it's the Lord that will strengthen him. Lord will encourage him. But through the association that Paul had, Brother Harder in his charge, he said, I have a desire for the furtherance of the gospel. I have a desire for the church of Jesus Christ. I have a desire for it to prosper. And he said, sometimes I have concerns. But he said, I have to be reminded that it's not my church, it's the Lord's church. Well, in the journey that Paul had, there was this young man that God put into his life that had a real heart for the Lord. He had a love for the Lord. He had a love for the doctrine. He had a love for the Lord's people. And his name was Timothy. And Paul writes two letters to Timothy, and he gives him sort of a charge of encouragement. And he says, Timothy, you've been called into the ministry. He says, you heard about this through your mother and your grandmother. He said, you had a faithful old mother. And you had a faithful old grandmother. And he says, in fact, there's evidence that you bear witness of the same faith that your mother and your grandmother had. I was talking to John's daughter the other day. We had the special blessing of her popping in on Wednesday night. And I said, you see that Bible that we're reading out of? I said, your granddad, Brother Bud Irwin. Every one of you can look under the pews and there will be a pew Bible there. That I said, the same Lord that your granddad believed in is the same one that we believe in today. Paul says, Timothy, you've got that same faith that your mother and your grandmother had, and you bear witness of it. He said, but Timothy, he said, I'm about to finish my course. He said, in fact, I've kept the faith, and he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give. But he said, Timothy, I've fought a good fight. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that like Paul when you get close to finishing your course? He said, just about finished my course. But he said, your course is before you. And he says, Timothy, I want you to fight the good fight of faith from now until the time that you finish your course. And he gives Timothy, he says, Timothy, it's real important that you emphasize and you teach the folks. And he says, in fact, I want you to stay here at Ephesus. I want you to stay at Ephesus. And I want you to strengthen the folks in the truth and in the doctrine. He said, it's very important, Timothy, that you give yourself to the reading of God's Word. That you meditate upon God's Word. And, Timothy, it's important that when you preach God's Word. He says, it's really important, the doctrine and the truth that you believe. But he also says, Timothy, and this is the one that jumped off the page every time I hear a new charge by a minister that's charging another minister, I'm reminded of my commitment. I see areas that I wish that I'd done better. I see areas that I'm challenged to try to do better. And when we read Timothy, we see how that there's areas that apply to us individually. He says, Timothy, he says, I want you to study the Word. I want you to preach. I want you to preach the truth. I want you to preach the Word. But he says, Timothy, I also want you to teach these folks by example. Brother Steve had a great friend in common, Elder Compton. And he said, if I can watch somebody do something one time, I can generally do it. He had a way of figuring things out, even if he didn't watch somebody do it. The Lord had blessed him with a tremendous mechanical mind. In fact, his daughter said after her father passed away, she said, my mom and dad had given me this brand new camera for Christmas. And she said, I came home one day after Christmas, and she said, on the dining room table were all the parts of this camera. My dad had taken the camera completely apart because he wanted to see how it worked. He was perplexed. How does it work? And he put it back together and he worked. Paul says, Timothy, I want you to teach folks. I want you to teach the young folks. I want you to teach the old folks. I want to teach you to encourage the folks by your example. Heard someone say one time, preach the word. And if you have to, use words to do it. Well, that convicts all of us. But did you know that this charge to Timothy is to every one of us here? Timothy was a young man because right here he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and this is the verse that we'll look at right here, Paul mentions to Timothy six areas specifically that he says, Timothy, I want you to teach others by being an example in these six areas right here. He mentions six areas. And all six of these areas are areas that each one of us can look at in our life and say, are we measuring up? Are we missing the mark? Are there areas that we could address in our life? And quickly we'll run through those six areas that he talks about right here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. So apparently he was a young man. But he says, but be thou an example. And it's interesting right here what he says. He says, be thou an example. He says, be an example of the believers. Now, I think that what he's talking about right here is, as a believer, you are an example. You're called to be an example. But also, you're called to witness to even other believers. But he said, I want you to be an example. And he says, first of all, be an example of the believers in word. In word. This can go in line with Matthew chapter 5, where he talks about that we're the light of the world and that we are to shine our light and we're to give the Lord the glory. Says we don't put a light under candle under a bushel, but we put it out where others might see. And he said our lights are to glorify the Lord. But he says right here, he says, I want you to be an example of the believers in the Word. On Wednesday night, I pulled up and I parked the car and I opened the door and here came two or three of Asa and Carla's little girls. And they said, Asa, their little brother, Asa started talking this week. That's good news. Asa didn't really... He wasn't in a hurry to start talking because he had four older sisters that did it all for him. And he was able to get anything he needed and most of the things he wanted. And starting with Laura on down, they would do the communicating for him. And so he was in no hurry to start talking. But this week, Asa started talking. And they said, you know what he said? He quoted a scripture. Now, he apparently heard that somewhere. I expect he probably heard it someplace other than church. Although hopefully he'll hear scriptures here. But I expect he had heard it over and over and over again. To where when he first starts talking, he says a scripture. Psalm 119 tells us that thy word is it directs our path. It's a lamp. It directs our feet. And it is our rule to live by. Last week, I ran across one of my grandmother's old Bibles. And in looking at her Bible, I read through it and I could see different scriptures that she had underlined. In fact, I saw where she actually wrote in the Bible. In fact, I found papers where she would write verses down or thoughts down. And I thought that even though she's been gone for 10 or 15 years, what a blessing it is to know that God's Word was a factor in her life. And that the decisions and that the direction that she made, that God's Word was applied in her life. And even though she's gone, that meant a whole lot to me. He says, first of all, I want you to be an example in the Word. I don't think that means that you're going around holding a Bible up, walking down the streets all the time. But I do believe that what it means is that we take the Word and we apply it in our life. And then we use it as a guide, as a direction. It tells us about all kinds of attitudes that we have, about all kinds of our thinking. It gives us direction. And oftentimes it'll condemn us. It'll correct us when we read His Word. The next one that he says, I want you to be an example to the believers in conversation. I want you to be an example to the believers in conversation. Conversation, in many cases, does actually mean our speech. But it also means, if you look it up, it also means our life. Did you know it's not only important what we say and that we say the right thing, but it's also important how we say it. It is. Elder Harder used to say, he said, you may be right about your position, but you may be wrong about your approach. Here's what James says. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he said, that, but he deceiveth, his own heart. He says, this man's religion is vain. If you remember the example of the disciples and when Peter denied the Lord, the first two times that he denied the Lord, it doesn't make mention that he cursed, but the third time that he denied the Lord, it said that he cursed as he was denying the Lord. James chapter 3, I thought for a minute, it's interesting that James dedicates an entire chapter, or the Lord does through the writing and impression of James, to talk about our speech. And I thought, that's a lot. And then I thought, you know what? It really isn't. Because we use our speech every day. We communicate with each other. We communicate at the workplace. In every aspect of our life, we use our speech. That's what God has blessed us to be able to communicate with. And it's interesting right here. He says, he gives the example. He says we can take a horse. He says we can take a horse and we can put a bit into the mouth of the horse. And he says we're able to, with that bit, we're able to bridle the whole body. We put bits in the horse's mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He says, even a ship, he says, which is great and driven with fierce winds, even though they are turned about with a small helm, whithersoever it listeth, even so, he says, you can just with the turn of a wheel, you can direct a ship. He says, with a bit and a bridle in a horse's mouth, he said, you can direct a horse. But he says he calls it this little instrument, the tongue. He says it's unruly. It gets away from us. We can't control it. He says out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. He says this ought not to be. You may say, well, it's an area that I have a challenge in my life. Well, he gives us good direction here on looking to the Lord to curb it. So we're to seek the Lord and be an example, first of all, in His Word. We're to be an example in His Word, in conversations, that being our speech, that being our life. We're to be an example in charity. Charity means love. Love in action. We're to be an example of exercising charity in our life. I don't know that I've made reference to this. If I have, forgive me, but it meant a lot to me. When we had the service for Sister Laura, and everybody here had special blessings from Sister Laura, one individual that got up to give a eulogy, I believe was an ex-son-in-law, and he got up to give a eulogy in regard to Sister Laura. And he said, "She may not have agreed with you. She may not have agreed with the position. But she still had a way of loving you and comforting you." Now that's a blessing from the Lord. Paul addresses charity very much in detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he says, and this is a whole message in and of itself, but he says, you can have the gift and the ability to speak in tongues with great clarity. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can understand all mysteries. You can understand all knowledge. You can have all knowledge. You can have faith. He says, in faith, to the extent that you could remove mountains, you could have all of that. You could have the truth. You could have the church. You could have the practice. You could have the family. You could have the friends. You could have all of it. But he says, if you have not charity, you don't have anything. He says, in fact, you can even take everything you've got and you can give it to the poor. But you have not charity, it profiteth nothing. He says, by the way, charity suffereth long. How long? Generally longer than what we put the time frames on. Charity suffereth long. Charity's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. And charity is not puffed up. Charity vaunteth not itself. I remember your mom saying, self-praise stinks. That's kind of what Paul's saying right here. Charity doesn't exalt itself. Charity doesn't lift up itself. Charity exalts others. He says, it doth not behave itself unseemingly. It seeketh not her own. That, by the way, charity is not easily provoked. Say, what about when I'm tired? What about when I'm hungry? What about when I'm weary? Those things are factors. They at least make a difference with me. But he says right here, he says, charity, it's not easily provoked. And ouch, this next one will get you. Or at least it does me. Charity thinketh no evil. Now, I don't know what's going on in your mind, but I know mine. He says, it thinks no evil. You ever think, I know what they're thinking? Really, you may not. Later you find that that wasn't at all what the situation was. He says, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. It rejoiceth in truth. Charity, love in action, doesn't get excited and say, well, when they had a hardship, that's exactly what they deserved. I'm glad they had that coming. No, charity doesn't do that. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He says, verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation. Be an example of the believers in charity. Be the example of believers in spirit. John chapter 4 says that we're to worship in spirit and in truth. That we're to worship the Lord and pray that the Lord bless with His Spirit. I just was blessed by the message Elder Aquino brought on the Holy Spirit and how that it should affect our life, and we ought to pray that the Holy Spirit would manifest itself within our life. I'm praying that at our annual meeting that we have, that the Holy Spirit will manifest itself in a mighty way. I'm praying that there will be miracles that will be done throughout that. And I'm not a holy roller type person, but I know that we've experienced some of the blessings and miracles of the presence and Holy Spirit of the Lord in times past. I know there have been folks that have been delivered from sins. I know there have been folks that have been healed from their sickness. And I pray that God will bless at this time as well. He says, I want you to be an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit. I want you to be an example of the believers in faith. And he says, and I want you to be an example of the believers in purity. He says that we are to be holy, for He is holy. If we feel convicted in that area, we're to pray like David did in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me the spirit to serve the Lord. Create in me the spirit to abhor and hate sin, and to hate the presence of sin and the affiliation of sin in my life. And help me to be an example to those that are around. How are we going to reach people and encourage people? It's not by the handouts that we'll pass out. It's not by going through the streets of New York and holding a Bible up in the air. But we reach people through the example that we live. Elder Harder said, the best witness in a church is a satisfied church member. If you've got a church member that's happy in the Lord, that's a great witness in His kingdom. Let's pray that God will bless us to be the right example in the life that He's given us to live. May God bless you.
I'm going to ask y'all, we know, to come forward and extend the right hand of fellowship. I'm thankful for each one that's here.